All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on an abbreviated edition. We'll give way at 6:30 to Don Munson, Tim Beray on the call of Clemson basketball, a 7 p.m. tip-off in Little John. But if you're going to talk South Carolina football after the regular season opens up, it's no better person to do it than our buddy David Cloninger, the Gamecock beat writer for the Charleston Post and Courier, also author of Here We Go, Don Staley's Gamecocks and the Road to the Championship. And David, first of all, happy holidays to you. I hope everything's going well in Columbia.
Same to you, Mark. Everything's going great here.
So let me ask you, how excited is the fan base down there about going up and facing a Virginia team that quite honestly overachieved and found themselves in the Belt Bowl? They were 7-2 at one point during the season. But I keep coming back to Bronco Mendenhall's comments back in August going, I ain't got 40 guys on this team that can play D1 football.
Well, Mark, it's kind of one of those good news, bad news scenarios. South Carolina is happy to be in a bowl that's quote-unquote easier to win. Obviously, it's really close, so you don't really have to worry about going up to Charlotte for a week and spending money in the hotels and restaurants, and just you can go up that day and watch the game and come back. But then again, there are a few people who are disappointed that they didn't get to go to the Gator Bowl, which was very, very high on South Carolina, but the SEC had the last call, and they said, well, they wanted USC to go to Charlotte. So it's one of those kind of split decisions. But, you know, they're happy to be in a bowl, and, you know, they really like that because there are a few years around here, quite a few years, that wasn't a possibility.
So, David, when you go back and look at this year, you know, two close losses from reaching the 9-win mark yet again in the regular season. How do you view this year? Because I don't know what to think of it. I mean, you're really playing with an FCS defense there at the end of the year due to injuries and attrition and everything else. But, man, the offense came on, including a record-breaking performance against Clemson in Death Valley. So when all is said and done, how do you think 2018 goes down?
Well, it's one of those, Mark, where you get to the 9 wins and you want to get there again, or otherwise it's going to be viewed as a disappointment. I think with all that South Carolina returned on offense, you expected them to be a lot better than they were, which they ended up being. But then the defense, because of injury, really, really took a step back. So I think there's a few folks around there that consider this a disappointment because of the 7 games they won, that's great. You know, that's a winning season, but the 5 games they lost were all to ranked teams. And it's getting to a point now in the third year under Will Muschamp, despite him not taking over a great situation, it's, well, you know, when are you going to turn some of these moral victories into real victories? So I think there's a little bit of disappointment there, but then again, it is kind of understandable that if you had anything close to a healthy defense, maybe you beat an A&M. Maybe you go up and play a little bit better against Kentucky. So I think there's some understandable nature there, but there's still a lot of disappointment.
So as we continue with David Cloninger, Gamecock beat writer for the Charleston Post and Courier, just do yourself a favor. Go follow him on Twitter at DCPANC. That's DCPANDC. All right, David, I'm going to ask an honest question here because you mentioned some South Carolina fans are tired of moral victories in closer games. They want wins. Will the onus go on Will Muschamp? And has anybody said anything? And I'm just going to call it like I saw it. What the hell was Zach Bailey doing in the game in the fourth quarter on Saturday?
Well, Mark, I know that there's a lot of people disappointed about that, and obviously they should be. Zach Bailey's what this program's all about.
Absolutely.
To see him go down with a really bad injury that late in the game, it just, you know, kind of screams about why would he be in the game. That said, USC's only had 2 games this year where they pulled their offensive linemen early. That was the Coastal Carolina game and the Chattanooga game. And both of those times, the offensive linemen played into the fourth quarter. So it is kind of a case of like, well, you know, there's that going for them. I understand why he was in because they were following protocol. It's just a bad break. Yeah. Now, when they were complaining about Jake Bentley being in that late, I agreed with him. He never should have been in there. Nothing ended up happening, but that was just kind of the way it went. I mean, they were trying to get the game-clinching touchdown. They weren't able to do that. and the circumstances were different, you know, maybe it would have been. But I can't blame the coaching staff at all for Zach Bailey's injury. It's just a bad luck break.
Yeah, and it wasn't an intentional leg whip by the Akron player. It was just one of those bad luck moments in college football. And there's a guy that, you know, 4 years on the offensive line, as you mentioned, he kind of identifies the first 3 years of the Will Muschamp era. As we continue with David Cloninger, the Gamecocks bowl eligible for the 23rd time overall, third consecutive season. So, you know, right now we switch to a little bit of recruiting, 15 days of bowl practice. But, you know, the message has gotten out there. Ryan Helinski's coming in as maybe the top drop back passer in the country. So give us an idea. You know, there were a couple of decommits here and there. How are we feeling about what signs here in just a couple of weeks, not to mention what signs the first Wednesday in February?
Well, it stands that, you know, they are going to sign the great majority of this class on December the 19th. That's what they wanted to do with this early date. There will be a couple of guys who, you know, might not make it then for whatever reason. And it may be that they don't make it at all just because of grades or you know, another opportunity comes along, what have you. But the main thing that fans want to hear, Ryan Helinski and Zach Pickens, the two highest recruits in this class, do plan to sign on December the 19th. And in fact, Ryan Helinski from California, he and his family are actually in the process of moving from California to South Carolina. So they'll be here within, I think, the next week and be ready to sign and enroll in December and be ready to go. But you know how it is in recruiting. Nothing to say about those two guys. They're here. They're legit. Everything's going to be fine with them. But you got to get on the dotted line before you can actually start talking about them. So they're real pleased with this class. They may add a couple of other big-time guys. They may lose a couple of big-time guys. You just never know with recruiting. But right now they're very satisfied with who they have on the list.
And let me also quantify, David, for people that don't understand why Helinski's family's coming with him, is a victim of suicide. You know, Ryan Helinski's older brother, who was a quarterback at Washington State, committed suicide. This will be a good 3,000-mile move for the family. You know what I mean? So people need to understand that as well. But let me ask you this. When it comes to things, does DeCarrion Joyner, what are we going to do? Is he going to be in the mix here in the offseason for some reps when it comes to quarterback? Because, you know, Ryan Helinski style versus DeCarrion Joyner style are two completely different.
Sure, and the fact is that Muschamp has made it very clear that he's only looking at DeCarrion as a quarterback. I think if he were to ever potentially change positions, it's going to have to come from the player going to the coach and saying, hey, maybe I could do something here. DeCarrion has been very adamant in that he's not leaving. He is staying here. He wants to play at South Carolina. Of course, sometimes situations can change like that, but that's what he has said publicly, and I'll just have to see how it goes. Jake Bentley has had a very, very good end of year stretch. He might put in for his NFL draft evaluation and see how that goes, because obviously if Jake Bentley is not at South Carolina next year, that's going to affect the quarterback situation with Helinski, with Jay Yurick, with DeCarrion Joyner. So I fully expect Jake Bentley to be back, but you never know what's going to happen in these next couple of months. So I'm sure once that decision is settled, we'll see what happens with DeCarrion Joyner.
All right, any rumor or any mutterings, Brian Edwards, because he has the ability to go test those waters as well, and you might as well go ahead and get the feedback from the NFL. But, you know, he said he has not come to any kind of decision. Any thought process on what Brian Edwards does?
I'm sure he's going to apply for his NFL grade, which he should. That's what the service is there for. But I'm sure that they'll come back and say, hey, man, you know, maybe you need to work on this and this a little bit. I mean, the fact is that they're going to come back with three grades, and it's first round, second round, or go back to school. Right now, especially considering some of the other receivers that are going to be on the board this NFL year, I don't know if Brian Edwards would be a first or second round selection. So I expect him to be back, but again, that's just me. I've been wrong before on things like this.
All right, let's move to basketball real quick. Coach Martin and the Gamecocks, a little bit of a rough start. Now you got a road game at Wyoming tomorrow night. One thing you got to take into account to out there is altitude. So, you know, the last couple of years we've had these awesome run by Don Saley's Lady Gamecock basketball team. But, you know, I hate to say they're rebuilding, but when they've already lost, what, three games, that feels like rebuilding here this year. So, you know, baseball season doesn't get started till February. What gets us through here the next couple of months? Because, I mean, listen, who is better equipped than Frank Martin to be the head coach? He's gotten one Final Four run. Does he not get the ability to rebuild this program again?
Well, of course he does, Mark. I mean, the guy took South Carolina to the Final Four. That, to me, buys a heck of a lot of time to rebuild it. Now, the fact is that you can love somebody and be frustrated with them at the same time. And I think that's what a lot of fans are frustrated with, because no matter how rebuilding you are, no matter what the talent level is, you shouldn't be getting whipped by Wofford, who's a great team. Mm-hmm. They're a great team, but you shouldn't lose to them by 20 on your home floor, right. And you shouldn't be losing to Stony Brook either. So a lot of fans are justifiably upset. And these next four games, Mark, it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's just the fact that USC has a very young team. And, you know, you've got some young talent, which is great, but you expect your veterans to be playing like they always have. And for whatever reason, Chris Silva and Mike Kotsar aren't doing that. So that heaps a lot onto the freshmen. They have to play more than they should be. And that's why some of these losses are popping up on the schedule. So, yeah, I just have to hope they get it together and find a way to win. Because after these next four games, which are very tough, you got to play 18 in the SEC. And it's not going to look pretty. But the fact is that, you know, Frank Martin's earned himself some time. He's got a recruiting class signed already for next year, and you just hope that it all comes together. USC didn't turn into Kansas overnight just because of that Final Four run. However, they could have taken a lot more advantage of that Final Four run than it appears that they have.
Well, listen, DC, you are the best. David Kloninger, Charleston Post and Courier, follow him on Twitter at DCPNC. I wish all of you and yours the happiest of holidays, including your extended clan over in the Rock Hill area as well.
No problem, guys. Same to you.
All right, David Kloninger. I'm telling you, you know, when it comes to the Gamecock beat writers, he's the best. He is the best, in my opinion. All right, so when we come back, Gamecock fans, I've got two questions. How do you feel about this season? Is 7-5 and headed to a bowl game in Charlotte against the Virginia Cavaliers? Are you happy about that? And how do you feel about the first three seasons of the Will Muschamp era? And do you have any expectations of what takes place next year? We'll touch on that. And then, of course, we're going to talk NFL as well today here on Straight Up with Sturge. So welcome back in on this Tuesday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We will talk Clemson at the top of the 6 p.m. hour with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. But Diesel, 7-5, 4-4 in the Southeastern Conference, coming off a 9-win season in which they beat Michigan in the Outback Bowl this past year. Where do you think a South Carolina fan feels in this? Because I'll give you my opinion afterwards. And I want, if you're a South Carolina fan and you're listening, you're more than welcome to get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776.
I think South Carolina fans should feel decent about 7 wins, but I know they don't, because South Carolina got so used to that I don't want this to sound disrespectful, but a little flash in the pan when they got really good.
Talking about 3-11 win seasons in a row.
Right. Those 3-11 win seasons got really good. And it is really hard to stay there. Especially when you've got a coach that's on his way out mentally, who leaves the covered bear, who doesn't recruit, and decides halfway through the season that he doesn't want to stick around anymore.
I think in the long run, South Carolina fans, especially if they win their bowl game against Virginia and Charlotte, in the long run, they'll end up looking back at this year and feeling pretty good about it. The one thing that will never – I'm not sure that there is a Gamecock fan right now that can kind of forget about that fourth quarter at Florida. I think that's the one spur, so to speak, when it comes to the Gamecock fans is – man, you don't give up that two-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter in Gainesville. I think that's the one thing that would make most Gamecock fans go, yeah, it was an OKC, but it could have been really good with that one, you know, because you did come out of it feeling better that you have closed the gap with South Carolina, with Clemson there in the final game of the year. It was a hell of an offensive performance. So I think when you take into account what the defense has not been able to do, why? Because nobody can, first of all, it's hard to rebuild both sides of the ball, as Will Muschamp's staff really had to do. You got to concentrate on one and then the other. And then once you get them both going, you can start throwing scholarships in equal numbers at both sides of the ball. But you know, Diesel, when you're first taking over, you may be offensive heavy on the scholarship offers or defensive heavy, but you can't do both. So you got to pick and choose what your battle's going to be. Now, defensively, how thin it was in the injuries, I mean, what were the expectations? I will say this much. I did think Will Muschamp got a little bit frustrated at the end of the year and the fact that you can coach desire. And there were a couple of times that it looked like South Carolina's defensive backs, they didn't want to stick their head in and tackle anybody. So I think he did get a little frustrated on that side, the desire. You can make a mistake, but just make it going all out. You know what I mean? And I think he lost. Now, where do South Carolina fans, Diesel, feel after year number three of Will Muschamp? How do you think that's playing out for them?
I think there's a large segment of the fan base that's disappointed. I think anybody who thinks it's time to start thinking about a coaching change is way premature.
Mm-hmm.
Way premature, because if you can't form any kind of consistency, players see that, other coaches see that, and they know that there's a good chance you're going to be a rotating door of coaches,
mm-hmm.
and nobody wants that. Build that consistency. Allow Will Muschamp to build some consistency first.
So are Carolina fans out of line in even breathing, even thinking that way when it comes to Will Muschamp? Because he has the most wins after his third season of any South Carolina coach in history. They are bowl eligible for the third consecutive season under Will Muschamp. Is it social media greediness, you know what I mean, that causes us not to go back and look at things historically? Because if you go back and look at the history, that's the best any coach has ever done at South Carolina in the first 3 years. You should be waving your USC Gamecock flag because of that. However, we want more. We want more, and I'm just not sure how much to ask for right now, because we know next year – you're looking already on the schedule at playing three of the top four or five teams in the country. Now, you will get Clemson at home, but you will go take Georgia on the road. That's always going to flip-flop back and forth. And is that going to change anything? So, like I said, I'll go back to this. I think if they were 8-4 instead of 7-5, everybody would be all in. I think that Florida game, that fourth quarter, left a bad taste in some fans' mouths, but Michael wants to talk to the Gamecocks. Am I on base, off base, or just crazy, Michael?
I'm going to do a little combination of both.
All right, that's cool.
Sturge, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Hope you are.
Yes, sir. I want to piggyback what you were saying about Will Muschamp. I think he needs a little bit more time here.
Absolutely.
So a second ago, y'all said about him being, first of all, he was 6-6 his first year down. And his, you know, 6-7, because he went to the bowl and lost to South Florida. Now, the cupboard was bare when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing for him to work with. And then next year, second year was his year to start building. We had a couple key wins. This year, more so of, okay, we had a signature win against Tennessee, of course, but Tennessee was down. But he still was able to keep the boat ashore and keep it you know, going straight. Right. Yeah, we had a rocky road against Kentucky that could have went either way. And then the one for Florida that I wanted to pick up my TV and throw it when you had a 17-point lead going in the fourth quarter against Florida, and you lost to a third-string quarterback. But that's another story another time.
Yeah, I think, that, Michael, that's the one that's going to be the inflamed moment for South Carolina fans from 2018.
Right. So for me, in conclusion, I just want to say I think he needs two more years.
Oh, yeah.
Because that very first year, the cup was better because he didn't have anything to work with. And for him to either get us to a bowl was that he should have got Coach of the Year for just getting us to a bowl considering what was going on with the team.
So, Michael, let me ask you this. You know, when you look across the national media and everybody else, Coach Dabo Swinney at Clemson is being given so much credit for making the move to the freshman quarterback after game number four. You know what? Will Muschamp should be given the same amount of credit when he decided to pull the red shirt off of Jacob Bentley his first year, and that's at the point when South Carolina started improving.
Right. I agree with you on that one. I wasn't too – you know, sure about it, but Bentley, you know, he went in there and did what he needed to do to, you know, keep us going.
Hey, listen, so, Kirby Smart's decision on Saturday going for the fake punt against Alabama, it looks stupid when it doesn't work out, but had they made that first down, he'd go down as one of the best coaches in college football history.
100% right, but however, this is Nick Saban, and he was ready for anything.
Yep.
And, you know, they both, he used to be his defensive coordinator, so it's not like he didn't know what to look for or what was going on. So you got to give credit to Nick Saban having them prepared to say, hey, he might go a fake here, keep everybody afloat, because everybody wasn't on the line. Everybody was like in a – if I'm wrong, Sturge, tell me I'm wrong. Like everybody was in a 3-4. Like was anticipating that it was going to be a fake, because the key thing is he had the backup quarterback right there in the middle. So that should – through that – gave my idea, hey, this might be a fake.
Yeah, Michael, as soon as Justin Fields walked out on the field, Bama went into safe defense and never even put anybody back. Right. They knew what was coming. And like I said, I see people throwing Kirby Smart under the bus. I think he didn't want to give the ball back to Alabama at the 50-yard line or the 5-yard line, so he went ahead and took his shot.
Yes, sir.
All right. Great phone call, Michael. Appreciate you, man. Thanks. You be careful out there for the holidays. So, again, love to hear from South Carolina fans, because I think in the long run, and now, again, this is magnified by the fact that beat Virginia and Charlotte for the Belt Bowl. That should be a de facto home game for South Carolina. You get to 8 wins. I keep looking back with my good friend. It's that South Carolina, it's the Florida game. And the further you get away from that, the worse it will hurt. The worse it will hurt. But absolutely, Michael, you can't even think about going down the road of changing coaches at this point. Gamecock football needs consistency, and the numbers support Will Muschamp after 3 years, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take your phone calls at 844-GSP-ESPN. Diesel, we'll continue the Gamecock talk, but have you heard some of the new bowl sponsors for the 2018-2019 bowl season? We're going to have Diesel and Sturgis bowl game before all said and done. All right, welcome back in. Diesel, you'll be happy to know when it comes to your conference rival. By that, I mean, aren't Sun Belt and Conference USA maybe a little bit rivals? Seth Luttrell, head coach at the University of North Texas, it's being reported that he will be the guy that will take over for Bill Snyder at Kansas State. So that's according to sources, and as you so well put it a few weeks ago, everybody has sources, but Football Scoop's usually pretty much on top of
my sources have sources.
Right. All right, Diesel, one final thing when it comes to Gamecock football, and again, if you want to get your opinion in, are you happy with the 2018 season, 7-5, 4-4, in the Southeastern Conference? And, of course, Will Muschamp, year number 3, he has more wins after his first 3 seasons at South Carolina than any other coach in Gamecock history. And, Diesel, it's one thing to say it if you felt like Spurrier recruited things out all the way through the end of his tenure. But let's be honest, he quit after six games of his final year. Sean Elliott takes over. So I don't think of Will Muschamp walking into the same situation as you mentioned App State's next head coach, Will. You know, at three consecutive conference championships, you know, good recruit, this, that, and the other. The other reason, in my opinion, that South Carolina fans need to go away from 2018 with a thumbs up is it becomes a culture. Winning close games even becomes a byproduct of a culture, in my opinion. And you go back and you look, starting on October 6th, South Carolina knocked off, at the time, number 23 Missouri, 37-35, in a game that, of course, Michael Scarnecchia played due to injury. And it was a game in which South Carolina's defense just kept them in the game by making Missouri settle for field goal after field goal. And they came back and they won by 2 points, 37-35. The following week at home on October 13th, South Carolina then lost to now number 19 Texas A&M 26-23. But you'll remember it was like 16-0 at halftime. And South Carolina fought back there in the second half and made a game of it, and they end up falling by 3 points. They take October 20th off before Tennessee. The Volunteers came to South Carolina. On October 27th, the Gamecocks leave the field with a 27-24 win over Tennessee. Another one of those games that they just kept hanging around. And then, so that's three consecutive games right there that have been decided by a field goal or less. South Carolina's 2-1 in those games. Then you hit the road for the first week in November, and you go to Ole Miss, and you win a game 48-44. And then the final game in this five-game mix is South Carolina, now number 10 Florida, in which the Gators make the comeback and win 35-31. So over a five-game stretch, starting on October 6th and ending on November 10th, South Carolina played every game to 4 points or less, and they went 3-2 in those games. So that's what I mean. I know you went to App State. I went to Alabama. So we are not smart people between. No, my point being, that's on the positive side of 500, and you did it with a suspect defense. Those are things that you got to walk away from this year feeling good about.
Yeah, I mean, South Carolina fans, it's all a matter of perspective. Do you want to be satisfied with Will Muschamp, or do you not want to be satisfied with Will Muschamp? You will find what it is you're looking for to justify your opinion, because you could be justified in either direction.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. That's why I hate numbers, because you can make numbers work to justify almost any opinion out there. Let me ask you this. Do you think South Carolina fans – I made the comment that Clemson and Clemson fans played two opponents on a week-in, week-out basis all year long. Not only was Clemson football playing the opponent on the other side of the field, their fan base at times was playing Alabama in the statistics category. All right? South Carolina, are their fans' expectations tempered or not to – if they look across the state and go, Clemson's got this role going, why can't it be us? Does that affect how they think about things right now with Will Muschamp? Because I don't think there's even a Clemson fan out there that would make the argument, top to bottom, the ACC is not as difficult as the Southeastern Conference. But it's not that big. It's not the huge difference that some people want to make it out to be. Do you think that maybe frustrate South Carolina fans and clouds their vision just a little bit, Diesel?
Oh, of course it does.
Because, listen, I'm a Bama guy. I do cover ACC football. There's nobody on the face of this earth that's going to look you straight in the eye and try to convince you that ACC football will ever be better than South Carolina or better than Southeastern Conference. And it's five private schools in Georgia Tech. I've made that argument before, and I'll make it again. But, yeah, I get the fact South Carolina plays a more difficult schedule year in, year out. But, you know, I think maybe some of the frustration is simply coming from the fact that Clemson is on this roll right now, and that's your rival. Let's get Tommy's opinion. Tommy, are you doing all right today?
Doing great, Sturge. Great show as always. I just wanted to tell you, as a diehard South Carolina Gamecock fan, with a I'm invested. My daughter's graduated from the University of South Carolina in Columbia. I couldn't be more happier with Will Muschamp. Okay. And knowing that Alabama's on the schedule next year makes me a little bit nervous, but also knowing that each loss that South Carolina has was to a ranked opponent mm-hmm. at the time they played them. So the five losses they have were to all ranked opponents. And as you mentioned, they had Florida beat, who's now number 10. I mean, you can go on and on with that October to early November run to where they finished above 500. I think Will Muschamp had some injuries on the defensive mm-hmm. side of the ball. I can't wait to see this young kid from T.L. Hanna, the number one or two defensive end in this class mm-hmm. That's going to South Carolina. I like everything about Will Muschamp. What I didn't know, and you threw it out there, was that during his first 3 years, I guess, that yep. he has won more games than any South Carolina coach in their first 3 years ever. And like you said, there's no question Steve Spurrier not only quit, he quit recruiting maybe a year earlier than he should have quit. So I think if South Carolina fans will just be happy for Clemson that they're doing good for two major schools in our little bitty state of South Carolina, and again, I'm not asking you to love Clemson, but just be happy for what we're watching because it's history, and know that South Carolina is not always going to be a middle-of-the-pack SEC East team. There's going to be days ahead where South Carolina competes in the SEC East and possibly wins the East and contends for an SEC title. I really believe that. Great show, and I'll just listen to y'all off the air.
Thank you, Tommy. And again, South Carolina's been to Atlanta and played in an SEC championship game. It's happened once. It's happened again. The maturation process, the culture, winning close games, that started this year. We highlighted that October to November stretch. Diesel, I think the next move forward for South Carolina is to win some of those games against ranked teams. And if you do that next year, guess what? That's another step in the right direction. We'll take your phone calls at 844-GSP-ESPN. I'm going to make Diesel sound like the brilliant App State grad that he is when we come back, because he's going to have to tell me who is the sponsor of the Boca Raton Bowl. All right, Diesel. We got some new bowl game sponsors this year, and I was going to ask you about the Boca Raton Bowl between Northern Illinois and UAB, and you nailed it right off the top
Cherry
of your
Bundy
head.
Cherry Bundy Cherry, Boca yep. Raton Bowl.
It just says Cherry Bundy here, so I know it's Cherry Bundy Cherry. All right, so you ready to try a couple of new bowl sponsors for the 2018-2019 season?
Is it the Cherry Bundy Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I prefer to go to the Al Bundy Bowl.
Ooh, could we have no man meeting?
Somebody's got to score four touchdowns in a single game, though.
Could we go to the
he's riffing now.
To the bar with a single $1 bill and see how long before we get beat up? So, God, the Al Bundy Bowl, that'd be fantastic. All right, the Frisco Bowl, which one is that they moved out?
I believe that one's sponsored by the Hardee's Frisco Burger.
No, it's sponsored by DXL, and isn't that some kind of shipping
clothing.
Company or
no,
something?
No, it's a clothing company for large men.
But they actually moved that game from, like, somewhere in South Florida out to Frisco, Texas, where they host the FCS championship as well.
How long does that – do you know offhand how long does that contract last for the FCS championship game to be in Frisco? Because the way they do it is they give them about a 10-year block. It was in Chattanooga for about a decade.
Oh, it was probably longer than that.
And now it's in Frisco. I'm just curious how long that lasts.
I'm sure they're giving them probably like an 8-year run, however long they bid on it. Because you're right, it went from Charleston to
in Boise for a while, wasn't it? No, it was in Idaho.
Well, it was back
in the 80s and 90s, it was in Idaho.
Furman and Georgia Southern played in Pocatello, Idaho. Also, Furman and Georgia Southern.
Of all places, why send it to Pocatello?
Yeah, also Furman and Georgia Southern played out in the Tacoma Dome out in Tacoma, Washington as well. So I'm sure, you know, it all started. I can tell you who played in the first FCS championship. And it wasn't called FCS back in the day, Diesel. It was actually called 1AA. All right? So you can't get on me about that. Bob Waters and the Western Carolina Catamounts went to Johnson Haygood Stadium in Charleston and played Southern Illinois University in the first ever 1AA championship game.
See, Charles, I get Charleston as a destination because there's a lot to do in Charleston. Mm-hmm. Chattanooga is actually a cool town. Those kids from wherever they... They get to do some really cool things in Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, choo-choo.
It's not quite as cool as Charleston, but it's still cool. I don't know about Frisco.
It's a northern suburb of Dallas.
Yes, but is that really all that cool?
Hey, it can get cold up there in January. I'd much rather go to Charleston.
I mean, Pocatello, Idaho. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Well, of course, they were going to go who gave them the most money to go play
also
the game
true.
There. All right. Thursday, December 20th, South Florida and Marshall play in the Gasparilla Bowl. Do you know who sponsors this one? Isn't a new one. I just – every year I like to say it.
It's Sioux City Sarsaparilla. Yeah. So it's the Sioux City Sarsaparilla Gasparilla Bowl.
No, it's Bad Boy Mowers.
Oh. Opportunity miss.
All right. No, major opportunity missed here. The Bahamas Bowl. Like I said, if I'm not in the college football playoffs, sign me up for these two bowl games as a player. The Bahamas Bowl or the Hawaii Bowl?
That one's sponsored by Tommy Bahama.
No, it's Makers. Now, did they leave?
Wait, I thought it used to be the chicken joint.
Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Was. Now it's Makers Wanted. When I saw that, I got excited. Thinking
Makers
it,
Mark?
Yeah, because I couldn't wait to get the gift package to
you know,
that
the
bowl
first
game.
Time I drove by Makers Cleaners out in Traveler's Rest, I thought it was a liquor store that sold nothing but Makers Mark.
It's and Master's I got, Mark.
Or Master's Mark. Yeah, there you go. I read it. Master's Mark. And I read Makers Mark. I was like, wait, this place just sells Makers Mark? Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go. I thought it was an outlet or something.
No. It is Master's Mark Cleaners. Now, when I saw Makers, I'm like, yeah, oh, man, no. So my point getting, we're going to sponsor us a bowl game here in the next few years. Because playing in Detroit on Wednesday, December 26th at 1:30, or Boston College and Boise State playing in the new ServPro First Responder Bowl. How do you get that on a T-shirt?
Oh, I thought that was going to be sponsored by the makers of Kevlar.
All right. What all is going to go into the gift pack for the players and coaches on Wednesday's December 26th, 9 p.m. matchup at the Cheez-It Bowl? Because I remember being able to go to the store and buying one kind of Cheez-Its. What my go-to snack at home, Diesel, is a good box of Cheez-Its. Now you got like 14 different styles that you got to float through just to make your decision.
I don't know what else is going to go in the gift bag, but there better be a knife in there so they can cut the cheese.
Well, yeah, that and maybe a drink to wash it down with, okay? Coming up on Thursday, December 22nd, it is the second year of the Independence Bowl. It is the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl, and it's not knocking the Duke and Temple football players playing in the game. That is like a new chain restaurant started by a couple of former LSU football players in the Louisiana area, and of course that game's played in Shreveport, so therefore it makes sense. All right, some of the other new sponsors for this year. Did you know it used to be the Florida Citrus Bowl or the CompUSA Florida Citrus Bowl or whatever? Do you know who is the new sponsor of the Citrus Bowl this year?
The American apple industry.
VRBO, Vacation Rental by Owner, has gotten big enough that they are now sponsoring a New Year's Day bowl game in Orlando.
Good for them.
Yeah. So
make that money.
Here's one that... Take a look at the sponsorship because I bet it doesn't last more than about a year or two because I don't see how this business is going to stay. Out in Santa Clara, California on New Year's Eve on Monday, December 31st at 3 p.m. is the Red Box Bowl.
You'd be surprised. There's a bunch of them still out there.
But eventually, is that not going to – I mean, it may work.
It's for the people who don't have access to high-speed internet.
Well, that's why – listen.
That's why you still see video rental stores out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, now, you're right.
Because a lot of people out there don't have high-speed internet, so they still have to go to places to rent DVDs and Blu-rays.
Well, you go to a smaller county, and I'm not knocking Kentucky, but every small county or town in Kentucky has a Family Dollar. You know what I mean? So Redbox in a place like that may work for a while, but is it really going to last for that long in like the urban Greenville, South Carolina area? I don't know. But somebody told me they made a bunch of money back in the day in Family Dollar stock, not because of what they do here in Greenville, South Carolina or places like that, but what they do in the smaller communities because they're located in almost every single one. So Clemson, of course, they're going to be playing in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl out in Dallas when they face Notre Dame on the 29th. I think they have already decided that it's a 4 p.m. kickoff out there in Dallas. So, just some of the things that catch my attention that make me laugh. No doubt. Here's the deal. This Saturday is Army-Navy. Stop and appreciate it what it is. It is the best game in this country. Now, it may not play that way out on television. I challenge you, if you ever get to scratch that off your bucket list, do it, because I'm gonna be hurting on the inside for more than one reason on Saturday when they kick that game off in Philadelphia, and that's the first one that I missed here in the last couple of years. But you got Army Navy on Saturday, and then you got FCS playoffs. December 15th starts the bowl season at 2 p.m. New Mexico Bowl, North Texas and Utah State. Again, we told you, Seth Luttrell, the North Texas head coach, sounds like he will be the new head coach at Kansas State. At 2:30, that's the Cure Bowl by AutoNation in Orlando. It's Middle Tennessee. It is UAB versus Louisiana. At 3:30, it's the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl. Arizona State and Fresno State at 5:30, the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl between Georgia Southern and Eastern Michigan. And at 9 p.m., we will, if he's not there, we will be having a party somewhere for Diesel, as it is Middle Tennessee and Appalachian State in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. So we're less than 2 weeks from getting the bowl games all kicked off. When we come back, it's Tuesday at 6 p.m. We'll catch up with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com, talk about Saturday night and Clemson's 42-10 win over Pitt. And of course, tonight, St. Peter's Peacocks at Clemson Tiger basketball game. The Peacocks come in 2-5. The Tigers 5-2, having dropped two consecutive games and looking to get healthy, not only in the mind, but in the body as well. We'll come back for the final 30 minutes at Straight Up with Sturge. We're live in studio on this Tuesday.